Thank you. I've always loved that hymn. Remember when I was a little girl and I would go with friends to church because my parents didn't usually go. That was one that I always just loved. And it wasn't until this morning that I found out it came from the Song of the Kells, the Book of the Celtic Songs. That's Carmina Gadelica, which is actually one of the things that we're talking about this month on this chapter on sacred song that is in our book, Sacred Earth, Sacred Soul. And when I first saw that there was a chapter on sacred song, I was like, I wouldn't have thought to include that. And then as I worked with it and meditated with it and prayed about it, I thought, how could you possibly do a book on the beauty of earth and of human soul without including song and music? It couldn't be done. And the Carmina Gadelica is the Song of the Gaels. It was printed around 1900, and it was a collection of ancient Celtic chants and prayers and poems and songs that were all gathered together by Alexander Carmichael. And I had no idea that Be Thou My Vision came from that very collection until this morning. And Clara came up and said, I've got this song, Be Thou My Vision. I said, well, part of what I'm going to talk about is vision, so that's kind of perfect. And then she said, look at the footnote at the top from the Song of the Gaels. So synchronicity is abounding this morning in so many ways. Music is such a part of life. It's a part of every spiritual tradition. Whether you're talking about classic hymns or you're talking about chants, whether you're talking about that heartbeat of the earth that is the Native American drum, that high energy that's the Tibetan singing bowls, whether you're talking about classical instruments that are being played, rattles that are shaken. Music is such a part of all spiritual traditions because it is a language that transcends words. It's like a bridge between the spoken word and the unspoken feelings and expressions, thoughts, energies, perceptions. It's this beautiful bridge, and we have collective songs that we all learn. I've always laughed at Christmas Eve when everybody knows the first verse and the chorus of all the Christmas carols. But there are songs that we just all know together. There are generational songs. There are pieces of music that you may not hear for years, and then you hear them again, and it transports you right back to some special moment in your life. Almost every wedding has a first dance with some very special song chosen by the couple that reflects their special dance of love and the music that is their soul song. Did you know that the oldest scriptural passage in all of the Bible is found, of course, in the Hebrew scriptures? It's actually Miriam's song. It's the song that was sung by Moses' sister once they crossed and came to safety. That is the oldest piece of scripture. The oldest story poem ever recorded is called the Hymn of the Pearl. And it was meant to be sung and chanted. And the Hymn of the Pearl is about how a soul comes to earth and gets so caught up in the outer appearance of things, they forget who they are. And the presence is sent from the realm of spirit to remind them that within them is the pearl of the divine. It's not out there. It's here. That's the oldest known story, poem, hymn. Is called the Hymn of the Pearl. The Book of Psalms, those are meant to be sung. There are musical notes at the beginning that tell you the rhythm to do them at. David, who is affiliated so much with the Psalms, was known to dance through the streets. There's even a story he did it one time with no clothes on. He felt so free. I wouldn't recommend doing that. But the Psalms were meant to be sung, and they're some of our favorite pieces from the Old Testament, from the Hebrew Scriptures. We go to that for comfort, for inspiration. Ah, then the Carmina Gadelica that collected the pre-Christian, even Druidic, songs and chants that the people had woven into their lives. They were very much a part of the Bardic tradition. And the Bardic tradition meant you kept the stories of your culture alive through music and song and poetry and storytelling. And the bards would travel from place to place to place, keeping the stories and the energies alive for the people. The actual sounds of words hold meaning. In Hebrew, you can actually take the word light, and in Hebrew, the very sounds that become the word light, each individual sound is some quality and energy that is what light is. Isn't that amazing? Hebrew and Sanskrit are considered two of the original formational languages that hold really profound energetics with them, which is one of the reasons that Sanskrit chants are done to this day the way they've been done for millennia in India. They hold the energy of creation and of the divine. I was blessed to go to Roslyn Chapel several times in Scotland and was touched to discover that the beautiful chapel down in the crypt was actually started by one of the women from the Douglas clan. And so it holds very special meaning to me. And one of the things that as I've studied about Roslyn Chapel, I've learned it's a very mystical, wild, interesting chapel with all kinds of symbology. One of the things that one of the books spoke of is how encoded in the walls and the floor and the pillars are notes of music that if played in the right sequence would open a portal to the divine. It's encoded in the very building. Last night, Lane and I went to the movies. We saw Doctor Strange and the Metaverse. There is a scene in there about music and the power of sound and created energy. It's light and it's visual. Most of it, and then suddenly the sound piece comes in. I looked at Lane and I said, synchronicity, my talk tomorrow. Doctor Strange, you find the most interesting things in some of the strangest places. My favorite quote about the Holy Grail actually comes from Indiana Jones. And it's his teacher who says the search for the grail is the search for the divine within. Comes from a Spielberg movie. Aren't we blessed that Spirit meets us wherever we are? Wherever we are, in whatever language we're speaking, Spirit meets us there. I thought I'd look up a few quotes about music, and I just loved what I found. One comes from Plato, that David's already spoken of. Music is a moral law. It gives soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and charm and gaiety to life and to everything. Isn't that wonderful? It brings life to life. One of the most famous ones that I had to look up to see where it came from comes from William Congreve, who was a playwright at the turn of the century between the 1600s and 1700s. You'll recognize it. Music has charms to soothe a savage beast, to soften rocks, or bend a knotted oak. I'd never heard the last two. to soften rocks, bend a knotted oak. And I found myself thinking about the wonderful book about World War II and how in England the metaphysicians were told to pray and send prayers to the Germans that their hearts would soften. Not that they would be destroyed, but that their hearts would soften. So to soften us so that we can become more flowing like music, and then we can communicate beyond words more effectively. Thomas Carlyle said, "Music is well said to be the speech of angels." Hans Christian Andersen, "When words fail, music speaks." Victor Hugo said something similar. "Music expresses that which cannot be said and on which it is impossible to be silent." Isn't that wonderful? And finally, a current. We had Plato, a single named person to start with. We now have Bono. "Music can change the world because it can change people." Music has this power to help us shift our energies. I found myself remembering the wonderful story of Silent Night being sung during World War I by the Germans and the Brits on either side of the battlefield. And one side began to sing, and then the other side in their language, and they ended up setting their rifles down and meeting in the center for a while, and then both going back. And then the next day, they did not continue the battle. They went other directions. The power of music to bring us together, that is so much what we need right now. Creation is all about vibration. The "let there be light," light is that energetic, everything is said to be light at various speeds and vibrations. The denser it becomes, the more physical and solid it is. But in the Hebrew scriptures, it's not spoken into being, it's sung or chanted into being. I've shared this many times because I think it's so important. And so it's bringing together the vision of light and things taking form. At the same time, it's the sound that is sending it into being, creating it, impelling it forward. It's like mind and heart coming together and then being pushed into embodiment, into being our world and into being us. I taught multi-handicapped children, was my first career. I worked particularly a lot with deaf-blind children. And I learned that vision for us is kind of what we notice in front of us. And it's how we orient. And when I worked with blind children, they would encounter things, feel them, and then when they walked past them, it was no longer in front of them, so it ceased to be. One of the things we had to teach was that orientation to the world. Reach behind, and this didn't disappear when you walk past it. It's still there, which helps give you a sense of orientation. Hearing is very different. Hearing is like your background sense that lets you know what's going on around you. If you're deaf, one of the things you need to learn to do is to turn and to become aware of the car coming up behind you that you can't hear. And I came to value our senses, but also to value the ability that when a sense isn't working in the usual way, it can still bless. And you can find other ways to balance and to navigate the world. I've always loved the scripture that said, where Jesus says, "Have the eyes to see and the ears to hear." And he's not talking about just those physical eyes and ears. He's talking about our spiritual eyes and ears. When you go past an experience, it's still part of who you are. To honor it for its place in your world is to bring peace. If you're fighting, going, that doesn't belong there, I don't see it, it's not there, you're not seeing fully. You can see something even difficult with spiritual eyes. You can hear beyond the words that someone is speaking by listening with your heart. There's a wonderful story about a monk who was on a bus, a public bus, over in, I believe it was Thailand, and a man got on and started raging. And he started throwing things and scaring people, and everybody ran to the back of the bus, and this guy was just creating havoc. And the monk got centered in peace and then walked up to him and encountered him right where he was. And he said, I'm here. The guy stopped for a second and then burst into tears and said, my son just died. But he approached with that energy of peace and harmony. We know the different sound of harmony and disharmony. I've talked before about the beginning of a symphony. It's so painful to hear all those discordant notes as everybody's warming up. But then they get to the point they're all warmed up, and then they begin to do the music together. Our world right now has a lot of people playing different musical instruments and practicing a lot. We have a lot of discordant energy. But we can, within ourselves, create a sense of harmony, a field in which we can invite others to bring their instruments. And it comes not in making them play their instruments like us, but rather finding the common piece of music that when we all play, there's automatically more harmony. I believe with all of my heart that this is a time for us to consciously connect with one another in new ways. And I have rediscovered music this week as I've worked on this. I have not been including music as much in my personal life. When I need to do a lot of work and like clean house or something, I put on ABBA, Mamma Mia. The soundtrack to Mamma Mia, I'll sing and dance with. But I've also rediscovered Simon's Chants, my tape with a Tibetan singing bowl. And it's like, oh my gosh, there's a tool in our toolbox that I think we forget to use far too often. So my assignment for you this week is to rediscover music in your life. I can't play musical instruments, but I can play a CD. Two of you I know who play the guitar have recently had this epiphany, I need to play again. When we've had concerts to raise money for humanitarian efforts, it's stunning how much money comes in. And I believe now that the music is what is part of what opens people's hearts to one another. And then they're much more willing to do whatever it takes to spread the kindness. Remember, they did a wonderful concert. It was right after the big tsunami that hit. And they were going, where, you know, stunning amount of money was needed for people. In the Ukraine now, a stunning amount of money is needed to care for the people. 75% of the children are displaced in that country. The resources are there. Many years ago, I was asked, where will the money come from that? And there was a wonderful story I heard, and it was simply from wherever it is right now. And it has a way of doing that. And so I think it's perfect that concerts are what are opening our hearts. The amount of money that was gathered for the tsunami victims and that has been gathered recently in some of the more recent concerts for humanitarian aid have been absolutely staggering. If you just walked up to people and said, would you give money to this? They're like, oh, I'll give a little maybe. Music is our language of our humanity, of our spirit, of our souls, of the divine presence for all of us. So let music this coming week open your heart in new ways. If you need to play a sad song so you can have a good cry, do it. If you need to play a song to center yourself in the midst of a challenge, find that piece of music. If you want music to just dance to, put on Mamma Mia. Allow music, the music of the spheres, of the planets, of creation, all the way down to the tiniest nanoparticle, that when the scientists have listened said it is Om. It's the universe that plays at a level of Om, but I would love to see the little microphone they had to have used. But they've listened to the sound of cellular creation. I want that little microphone. And it is an Om sound. I think that's wonderful. And that from millennia ago, we were gifted with a chant that is simply Om, that unites us, our energetic field, in harmony with something far greater than ourselves, with our very souls and our energies, and lets us be the presence of the divine in the world this day. From the Carmina Gadelica is a wonderful piece attributed to Saint Bridget. It's a blessing. And I love this. I would sing it, but I'm going to gift you with me not trying to make up some melody for this. But feel it with your hearts. Saint Bridget, who we all celebrated and love. Think about music opening your heart, your mind, your body to this. We saw a stranger yesterday. We put food in the eating place, drink in the drinking place, music in the listening place. And with the sacred name of the triune God, he blessed us and our house, our cattle and our little ones. And as the lark says in her song, often, often, often goes the Christ in the stranger's guise. Invite others and our world as a stranger into your home, into your heart. And as you seek to listen, don't just listen to the words. Open to put music in the listening place of your heart and ask them to do the same. Let us pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, abiding presence of God. Oh, the music of the spheres expands out into the infinite universe. It also expands into the tiniest spaces between the spaces of all of creation. And it is the very essence of our being. Each soul has its own soul song to sing. its own rhythms to experience, its own lyrics to write, and its own music to share. Let us be willing to realize that we can see, we can hear in new and powerful ways, in spiritual ways that lets us see the beauty in all of the world. Let us speak music, the speech of angels, and let us remember that we can change, our world can change, and that when we need it, music gives us a tool that lets us dance with the divine right where we are in the midst of life. For this, we are so profoundly grateful, and we go forth blessed and blessing, and so it is. Om, amen, and blessed be.